You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Browns season is here, and the best fans in the NFL need their gear. Shop the new and improved selection of apparel and merchandise at the Cleveland Browns Team Shop. Visit the shop at First Energy Stadium, open 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. 7 days a week, or visit shop.clevelandbrowns.com. It's Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Vic Carucci, Nathan Zagura with you, and we are going to take calls, as we always do through the show. We got a lot of them. 216-578-0850, 216-578-0850. Mary Kay Cabot from the Cleveland Plain Dealer will be joining us in a little bit. We'll have her on the show, and Gerard Cherry will also join us in the second hour of this show. But let's, Nathan, go to Euclid and say hi to Mark. Hey, Mark.
Hello, friends. How y'all doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing good. My thing is how come everybody want to keep burning it? Blaming Brandon Whedon where Mitchell Schwartz and O'Neal Cousins was the problem. On that block pad that Brandon Whedon tried to throw, O'Neal Cousins got carried all the way back toward the quarterback. Anytime that you have the line problems like that, you can never blame your quarterback. After that first quarter, Brandon Whedon was fine. Benjamin dropped the pass, and then we had holding calls.
I don't disagree with you. I think when you look at the fact that the Cleveland Browns offensive line had gave up more sacks and more quarterback hits than any offensive line in the NFL in week number one. In fact, gave up 26 total pressures, also number one in the NFL. It's tough to get excited about what they did in that game, and I think some of the blame does have to fall at their feet. Now, I watched two plays in a row in the break here as we were breaking down the coaches' tape of the game against Miami. One was the second and 19 where they tried to run a screen play to Trent Richardson. Mitchell Schwartz got abused on that play, disrupted the timing. That was a play that could have been a 60-yard touchdown and at least would have picked up a massive chunk of yards. There were only two defenders out there, and the Browns had three blockers in front of Trent Richardson. Perfect play call at the time, disrupted because, and all Mitchell Schwartz had to do, he was on the opposite side of it, was hold down Cameron Wake. He didn't. The very next play, however, Brandon Whedon had an easy, what I think was an easy throw to Travis Benjamin that would have been another huge chunk play, and Whedon instead checked down on third and 18, but again, because he had some pressure from the right side with Mitchell Schwartz. But I think it was a combination of two things.
I think what happens is the quarterback starts to, when he's lost confidence in how he is being protected, it's in his mind now that he isn't going to have the necessary time to throw what would have been the longer pass. Well, you know, that pass was a little longer in developing because you had Travis going, cutting over to his, running that slant to, yes, to his left. He's got the defender trailing him, whereas underneath he's got Jordan Cameron on pretty much a safer, shorter route that in the mind of the quarterback says, if I release here, I'm going to get, if I go for this one, ball's going to get out of my hand very likely before I get hit. If I take one more beat and wait for Travis, who's fast, but to get into that area where I've got to kind of float the ball a little bit, make sure that the defender, make sure he doesn't hang it up too much, make sure that the defender who is closing behind him isn't able to get into position if it's, you know, if the pass doesn't hit Benjamin in stride, is an opportunity to defend the pass, to knock it down, to intercept it possibly, and with nobody on that side of the field, take it for six the other way. I mean, there's a lot of things that are going through his mind, but here's the thing. This is why, as a quarterback, these are the steps you've got to take to be a bigger time player. I would dare say your top quarterbacks in
make
the league, your Peyton Mannings, your
without
Tom
question.
Brady's, make that throw.
Without question.
Okay, and therein is the difference of what the Browns don't have, you know, with Brandon Whedon. Will they ever get it in Brandon Whedon? We'll see. But that is one of the things that they know that they don't have right now in the guy.
One of the interesting, and I wanted to get one, because one of the big things that stuck with me was the lack of Josh Gordon and how big of an impact it was. And I know that was a question that certainly I've raised a couple times, and I know it was also a question that was posed to Rob Chudzinski, and he was asked if the absence of Josh Gordon from the receiving core was a bigger challenge than he might have thought it would be in week number one.
No, you know, I think that we knew, you know, the value that Josh has to the team. But I do see, you know, the other guys having the ability to step up, and they'll have to continue to do that. And this week will be a big test for them.
So you can't sit there and say, hey, we don't have this guy, therefore the offense is gonna have to struggle. Nonetheless, we noticed the difference not having him in there. And Travis Benjamin, for all his speed, is not that athlete. He's not. We know size-wise he's not what Josh Gordon is, but even as a route runner, he's got a lot of refining to do. He's your basic run that nine-route guy and use his speed to beat somebody. But we talked with him yesterday. He was when we did the remote, I was out at the PNC Bank in Mentor, and he was there, and asking him about, you know, getting off the line of scrimmage and dealing with those intricate parts of the game where you've got somebody knowing that you're not the biggest guy in the world physically trying to deal with you. And he said that is the learning process he's still going through as a second year receiver. Sometimes guys get there and sometimes they never do. I think with Travis Benjamin, he's a better role player when you've got Josh Gordon lined up in the same receiver set. Let's go to Phil in Brecksville with us now. Hey, Phil.
Guys, how you doing?
Good. What's up?
First of all, you know, I was a bit apprehensive with this show as to how objective you guys would be, being that you're in the middle of Lou Groza Boulevard and your coworkers and everybody's around you. But I can tell you that I know both of you guys had to make the decision that you're going to tell it like it is, and that's been noted by us listening. So I appreciate that.
We appreciate you saying that, and I'll tell you what, you can't do this show, you can't talk about this team or write about this team if you're going to take the other approach, because A, very few people would really listen, and B, you got these things called sponsors, and they want to be part of what you do. This stuff doesn't happen for free, and you got to be true to what the material is, because you got no other choice. I didn't sign up for this if that was going to be anything but the case. I know, Nathan, I'm not going to speak for you, but I know you didn't sign up for that either.
No, absolutely, and that was, you know, interestingly enough, one of the things that was talked about with me before I took this role on, and I said, you know, I love to get in the numbers. I love to watch the tape. And I feel that if there are going to be games where I'm going to have to come on here and be objective and say things that, you know, aren't flattering about what the Cleveland Browns did. And I think as long as you look at it from an objective standpoint and do your research and know what you're talking about, have your facts and have your, you know, your film study done, then you can't say anything that's going to get you in trouble, because you're giving your opinions that are based on things that you've seen and or studied or learned. So
you still made it. You still make it in and out of that cafe without too many issues, right?
Yeah, I was able to have a lovely meal today in the cafe.
You get a little stink eye after a loss, but hey, it goes with the territory.
It does. Yeah. Absolutely.
What else you got, Phil? Oh, Phil's there. Okay. All right. Well, we got all right. Let's go with Bob now in Cleveland. Hey, Bob.
Nathan, I have to disagree with you 100% about what you said. They've got five ball players that are proven NFL football players in the free agency, and I agree with you there. But, and you said, okay, that's five players that we got. But if you get four or five of these draft picks, then you have 10.
Don't disagree with your math whatsoever. And listen,
I want to finish.
Good.
Then you trade a third round pick or a fourth round pick and give the Steelers a cornerback that's rated very highly in the draft, which we need. A fourth round pick where we needed some help on the offensive line, you grab that guy there. Eventually, you got to start filling these holes. You can't miss on four or five draft picks.
I understand what he's saying, and I think you make a fair point there, and that is one of those things that certainly I think hindsight helps with, and we'll see that going forward. But the one decision to me that if you were asking me what I would have done differently, I understand stockpiling for next year, because I think this is an organization that wants to get as many assets in place as it can if they feel the need to go after a quarterback. So I don't mind moving up two rounds basically for those mid-round picks, because I don't think they're concerned with getting the guys that could help this year per se to get to, let's say, 9-7 this year. They're much more concerned with getting to 12-4 in a couple of years and building a sustained winning organization.
And you, here's the other thing that people won't take into consideration. The draft doesn't have the magic pill to solve all the problems. I know there's a lot of focus that the Steelers got the guy that the Browns should have gotten or something at safety, and fine. I mean, the Steelers, their issues are many right now, and as bad as things seem here, I'd rather be here. I've listened right to a now. Lot of what's going on in Pittsburgh, talked with a lot of what's going on in Pittsburgh. It isn't any picnic down there. It's not really fun right now there. No one's saying what geniuses the Steeler decision makers are for what they've done. So let's take that off the table and focusing on the Browns. If you don't see the help in certain rounds of the draft that can be immediate impact players for you, the feeling that the solution for the line, as this caller was saying, was somewhere in the fourth round, I don't know that that's the case, and neither does he. But you're taking that stab. That picks don't just equal filling holes. It's you've got to know what you're doing in terms of talent, and if you make a value judgment to move on the next year, you do. Okay, we've got much more coming up in a couple of minutes. We will have Mary Kay Cabot. She is with the Cleveland Plain Dealer, and so much more for you. Your calls, 216-578-0850. Vic Carucci, Nathan Zagura, you're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.